This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Spreading like fisting. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Markin' Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 687. Make sure that you check us out at markinout.com. Also on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, and wherever else you may be listening to your podcasts, even Apple Podcasts. But buy a t-shirt over at Pro Wrestling Tees. Make sure you give us a like over on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter at Marking Out, on Instagram at Marking Out 11, on TikTok and Twitch, and wherever else you may be on social media platforms. But this is our WrestleMania episode. That is right. We are headed into WrestleMania weekend. We have been gearing up for this. All storylines come to an end of this chapter. But I am one of your hosts, Dave the Rave, and you can check me out on all social media platforms at DavidPTDPT. You can follow Chris over on Twitter at ChrisSweenDog and CMSweeney85 over on Instagram, and cannot wait for him to join us a little bit later on. But also make sure you check out Brandon at BTTG161 over on all social media platforms. But that being said, Brandon, how are you?
I'm almost awesome as always.
Sweet. What did you do this week?
Well, obviously I went to Cheesecake Factory.
But obviously.
More importantly, they loaded up different rewards on everyone's accounts on April 1st. And the reward that I got was $5 off an order of $25. Other people got a whole damn cheesecake for free.
No.
I don't know how many people got that reward, but I kind of feel like I got screwed as loyal as I am to Cheesecake Factory.
That's insane.
Some people, the other people got like a free slice with a purchase or a half off slice or a free slice a month for a year. But like, I feel like I got screwed.
Jeez, so, you know, it's, go figure, and you're such a loyal customer.
Yeah, I don't know, that kind of stung to see that they were giving out whole cheesecakes. But yeah. Outside of that, I also made meatballs, I think for the first time in like 2 years. Maybe, I might have made them last year, I'm not 100% sure, but I made them with homemade sauce as well. So I do think they could have used a little bit more salt, but I thought they were good. Enjoyed mm-hmm. them. How about yourself? How was your week?
My week was good, thanks. My week was good. Really, the entire week has been geared around WrestleMania. Just so excited. Been telling all my patients about WrestleMania. None of them are fans. but been telling all of them that it's WrestleMania weekend because they should know. Very excited for Sal. Sal and his wife Ripley are actually going to be going to night one of WrestleMania, so it's actually both of their first WrestleMania, so we are wishing them all the best over there. They're gonna have a blast.
Are they going to WWE World at all or no?
No, I don't believe so. They're gonna go to WrestleCon though. They're gonna stop by WrestleCon, maybe a few other things over there, but yeah, so they're gonna have a blast. WrestleMania is always fun. I think we're probably gonna do a WrestleMania in the future again, but it's going to be a destination WrestleMania. Hopefully somewhere warm.
I mean, first of all, I think if we went to this WrestleMania, it would still technically be a destination WrestleMania.
I would rather do a destination further from Philly and not in Philly. Yeah.
Well, next year, either Las Vegas or Minnesota. Nobody knows.
Yeah, I'll probably skip on both of those, and probably somewhere else I'd rather go. But yeah, it's WrestleMania week. I am so pumped about this episode, but let's get right into it. Let's talk about some Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it kicked off with The Rock, big pop for him wearing that same cow vest that he wore back in the 90s. But he spoke about Cody Rhodes. He showed videos of children crying about Cody Rhodes. And then he brought out the Bloodline. Did I say Bloodline? It sounded like I said lime for a second. But
I heard line.
Yeah, I don't know. He brought out the Bloodline, and I feel like all of them got cheered.
Yeah.
By Brooklyn. And Roman got them to boo by saying no yeet, which I thought was so... That's like such a 2024 sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
So I thought that was funny. But he thanked The Rock. Seth Rollins eventually cut him off and said that he wants a fight right then and there on Monday Night Raw. And he challenged The Rock to wrestle in the main event. And The Rock said, I don't think so, basically. And he said, well, actually, first, after Seth Rollins challenged The Rock, he challenged Roman Reigns because he didn't think that The Rock would. And then, obviously, The Rock turns him down, and it was Solo Sikoa who stepped up for that main event. And it was going to be held under Bloodline rules. So, I thought it was a hot open for the Brooklyn crowd.
Yeah, I mean,
Very interesting to see who was cheered.
Yeah, I popped for this. I mean, especially the Bloodline rules match leaves so much to be open for that. Anything could happen. But
I'll kicking talk about off my gripes with, later on.
Yeah, well, kicking off with the Judgment Day, picking up a victory over the New Day and DIY. It was a solid opening match. There was
very
one
chaotic.
Point, very chaotic. There was one point where I cringed, where Johnny Gargano went for a suicide dive to the outside of the ring. And the way that he like went right into the commentary table, and I cringed during that. I'm like, oh, you know, it's just rough landing. What did you think?
Yeah, very much so a rough landing. He's luckily okay. As far as the match goes, I don't think there was much to it. I think more happened later on where we saw like Dom invited Legado del Fantasma there, and Damian Priest was pissed off that they were even there. So I thought that was interesting. That just like ties them together more for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
After that, though, we saw Sami Zayn training at the Performance Center with Chad Gable. And Sami Zayn got annoyed that Chad Gable was like running him into the ground. And Chad Gable yelled at him.
Yeah, he was going really hard on him, you know?
Yeah, and he yelled at him and said something like, he was like, something's holding you back. And Sammy's like, you're right, I'm afraid. And then Chad Gable talks Sami Zayn through it, and they continued to train. And then we saw Sami Zayn pick up the victory over Bronson Reed, which I thought was an okay match. I thought Sami would win this, but I didn't know if there was going to be like a DQ or a no contest portion of this.
Mm-hmm.
But Gunther dragged Chad Gable out, who was knocked out. And Sami Zayn went to go check on him, and Gunther took him out. So.
Yeah, I think that this is, I mean, to me it's building up to Zayn losing, but maybe him versus Gable, and then Gable versus Gunther.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Ivy Nile and Maxine picked up the victory over The Way. I was kind of surprised that they won, but I think they definitely needed that victory.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they definitely needed the victory. I feel like it was kind of, I don't know. They needed the victory, but I don't know if I would have put it against The Way.
Well, I'm fine with that because, like, Candace distracted Indy Hartwell in this, and it cost them the match. And then she was pissed off at Indy and yelled at her about that loss. So it makes sense that they would have that loss.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fine with that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it does build up her and Indy having a lot of heat with each other. I mean, like I said last week, I don't think that there's no way that they remain together unless Indy Hartwell does find that inner heel within her. But I am still all for Dexter Lumis coming by and preventing her from going to the dark side.
We shall see. After that, we had Drew McIntyre give sort of a eulogy for CM Punk's WrestleMania main event. I don't think it was super impactful, but it continues their feud.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we could see Drew McIntyre win the championship at WrestleMania and then have, because we know CM Punk's on commentary, McIntyre could be like distracted or he'll keep talking trash to Punk during the match or something. Punk gets fed up afterwards, hits him with the GTS, and then Damian Priest perhaps comes out, cashes in. Clash of the Castle was announced this week to be in Glasgow. So perhaps we see McIntyre versus Damian Priest in that main event, and McIntyre gets the championship win in his hometown.
Yeah, I mean, you laid it out to me a great scenario and storyline-wise where it definitely makes sense for McIntyre to have his championship victory over there.
I mean, it makes sense for him to win at WrestleMania and lose at WrestleMania, too. So,
yeah, you want to share that storyline or not yet?
What do you mean? I literally just said it.
Well, I feel like there was more to it, though.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think. What else would I have added? That's everything.
Yeah, that's true. But next up, you had Ricochet pick up the victory over Ivar. This match was a good match. It was fun and eventful. There was a few spots that I really liked between Ricochet and Ivar. I've became a big fan over time of the speedster versus powerhouse or heavyweight matches. When I feel like when we first started the podcast, I wasn't a big fan of that. I would not like Rey Mysterio versus Big Show because it didn't make sense to me. But as I grew more and more, I realized how entertaining matches like that are. So, yeah, I was a big fan of this match. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they both make for fun matches. And Ricochet catching Ivar and hitting that fallaway slam was nuts.
Dude, that was insane.
Yeah. And then, of course, Damian Priest was pissed off that Ricochet was able to win this. And JD McDonagh said he'll take care of him on SmackDown in that Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which I'll talk about momentarily. But yeah. Dominic said that just in case JD McDonagh doesn't get it done, he has just the guy, and he brings in Andrade. And Dominic introduced Andrade to Santos, and he said that if he takes care of Ricochet, they'll make him a full member of Judgment Day. So I really don't think... I personally would have liked to have seen Chad Gable win this. I feel like it has to be Andrade. And it has to be Andrade eliminating Judgment Day to win.
I could see that. I think it's worth noting right here that somebody that wasn't able to take out Ricochet was Dragon Lee, who faced off against Ricochet in the first ever Speed episode taking place over on Twitter. But...
Which, by the way, people are like, oh, they're not selling. I think they very much so are selling. They're like 100%. They're like, they have 3 minutes to do it, and they are actually selling.
Yeah, there were moments where they were selling pretty hardcore, but I feel like if the same fans that say, oh, they're not selling, obviously have never watched Ricochet versus Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay. Or, for some reason, I'm sure 100% that most of them are probably the fans that were voting them to the number one spot for best match of the year, and the only reason they don't like it is because it's on WWE TV right now.
Also, Bronson Reed picked up the victory over JD McDonagh. I thought that was a very well-done match there. I thought it was going to just be, like, lighter guys. I didn't realize Bronson Reed was going to be in this as well.
That's very true. Yeah.
So I'm happy that we're going to get that. I didn't plan on watching WWE Speed, but I'm on Twitter. It was on my timeline. So it's 3 minutes. Why not? Or I guess total 6 minutes for that. But earlier in the night, we saw Becky Lynch interviewed where she confronted Rhea Ripley earlier in the day on Ariel Helwani's show, which caused a huge rift in pro wrestling.
What was the biggest rift?
CM Punk was the biggest rift, but
yeah,
everyone, even this segment where hey, he's a real reporter and he's using kayfabe, like shut up, it's so goofy. So Becky Lynch basically said she's going to the ring later on, she's calling out Rhea Ripley, and that she did. And Adam Pearce ran out, he's like, absolutely not, no. And then Rhea Ripley showed up, and he's like, no, save it for WrestleMania. And she backed up, threw the title at Adam Pearce, and then ran through security as if she was on Double Dare or Nickelodeon Guts or something.
Maybe like Global Guts.
Yeah, and then they brawled, but it was ultimately broken up and then continued backstage. So I think it kind of sucks. It feels like they're doing more to hype up Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch than they are for Bayley and Io Sky.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what are you going to do in that situation, I guess?
Yeah. I feel like this entire run of Io Sky as champion has been pretty flat.
I don't think it's been flat. I think it's just been very focused around the breakup.
Yeah, I could see that too.
And then we saw, after that, Damage Control picked up the victory over Zoe Stark. Shayna Baszler, both of them making Bloodsport, Baszler's return, Zoe Stark making her Bloodsport debut, I mean, which is just a surreal thing to see. But they teamed with Tegan Nox. And I always enjoy seeing Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai share the ring, but what a random choice to have her with Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler just because they needed a third woman.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was random, very random. But I thought it was a decent match. It was really, I think, ultimately just to have Damage Control get that victory before, I think, losing.
Heading into it.
I think losing at WrestleMania.
No. So, I'd agree with you. I think
you have Jade, I think Cargill, Naomi, and Bianca Belair. I don't think they're losing.
I agree with you. I don't think they're losing either.
And then the main event of Monday Night Raw saw Seth Rollins versus Solo Sikoa, I think, end in a no contest.
Yes. Yes.
Now, my gripe with this is that given that we have a street fight on the WrestleMania card, and most likely another Bloodline Rules match at WrestleMania, I don't think this should have been done the week or the week before the bigger Bloodline Rules match. Obviously, they needed a stipulation where Jimmy can get involved. They needed a stipulation where Jey Uso can get involved. I did not think The Rock was going to be getting involved in this, but they obviously needed that stipulation for him. And I thought we were going to see Drew McIntyre get involved. He had words with Seth Rollins before this match started. I thought we were going to see Drew McIntyre in this match, but he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So that was surprising. But, I mean...
Yeah, I was a big fan of this. I mean, for The Rock getting involved, I did not expect that to happen. I think that this entire end of Monday Night Raw, it was awesome.
And then, of course, it made sense that Cody had that big comeback after his beatdown last week. And also, Roman Reigns left earlier in the night. He said to The Rock, like, hey, man, I'm taking off. I didn't think we were going to see Roman Reigns here either. And he ended up in this segment to help The Rock. And I was like, my mind was kind of blown.
Cody was ready to hit the rock bottom on the commentary table. And then out of nowhere. Which,
by the way, I think that spot has to actually take place at WrestleMania. I think we're going to see that. It has to.
I think so too. But then you had Roman Reigns yank the foot of Cody Rhodes coming through the crowd. Or I think they said that he was actually underneath the ring.
I don't know. I think and then he mentioned unfortunately tripped over the announce table.
I did see that. I mean, but there was really nothing you can do. No, he didn't no. like there was nothing you could do about yeah, that. No. Like I saw that and I'm like, I would have tripped too.
And then they beat the hell out of Cody and Seth Rollins. And I thought that was a great way to Solo Sikoa, by the way, just like disappeared.
Yeah.
I don't know where the hell he went, but I thought that was a great closing to Monday Night Raw. WrestleMania 29, by the way, was the last scheduled WrestleMania match for The Rock. And that was April 7th, and he's going to be wrestling on April 7th, which I think is pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Oh, wait, actually, awesome. You know what? I don't think he's wrestling on April 7th. April 7th is Sunday. Was WrestleMania 29 April 7th or April 6th? Let's see. WrestleMania 29.
I don't know.
WrestleMania 29 was the 7th, so I'm incorrect. It's no longer
But this cool. is actually, what's interesting with statistics is this is the last U.S. PLE until SummerSlam.
Well, that we know of, at least, right?
I think officially.
May, June, July?
I think officially. I think they already announced that they're going to be traveling the globe after this.
Oh, yeah, because we have France. And then Clash at the Castle. And then Bash in Berlin. And it takes us to August 31st, yeah. Well, no, because SummerSlam would be before that, no?
August, yeah, SummerSlam would be, July, no? Yeah.
I guess so, yeah. A lot of
but
out-of-the-state events, yeah, look at that.
Yeah. But that was Monday Night Raw. Let's move on to some NXT chatter. Kicking off with Nathan Frazer and Axiom picking up the victory over the OC and the LWO to advance to compete over at Stand and Deliver, which is taking place on Saturday at noon, I believe. Yeah. So what did you think about this match?
Booker T, I think, said it best. He said a lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot going on. There were some messy spots here. But overall, I'm still a little shocked that the OC lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already had them booked as the champions in my head. So I was very surprised to see that Gallows and Anderson did not win this match and they're not moving to Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, I was expecting either them or the LW. I was not expecting Frazer or Axiom.
No, I would not have expected, if you had to give me a choice between the two teams, Gallows and Anderson are my first pick, and then Axiom and Nathan Frazer are my second pick. There's no chance in hell I was thinking the LWO.
No.
I still don't understand why their match at WrestleMania is not like a team effort sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Rather than just the tag team match, but we'll see what happens with that. Nah. After that match, we saw JC Jane pick up the victory over Fallon Henley. We saw Kiana James get involved. Thea Hale took her out, and then a brawl broke out with everybody on the outside. And Fallon Henley got involved, but when she got back into that ring, JC rocked her with that knee and picked up that victory. And then she celebrated in Gorilla. And Ava was like, okay, move on. And then Thea Hale came back. She was pissed off. And Ava set up a match for Stand and Deliver, which I thought we would have seen at Stand and Deliver. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
After that, we saw Alexis King pick up the victory over Von Wagner. Wagner briskly walking to the ring to start the beatdown right away. But when he tried to powerbomb Lexus King through the commentary table, King reversed it into a DDT. And then I feel like surprisingly won. I was not expecting Lexus King to win that match either.
Me neither. I mean, especially the way that Wagner came at him right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I thought that Wagner was going to pick up that victory.
We saw Lola Vice pick up the victory over Carmen Petrovic. And Natalya gave Petrovic advice beforehand, and she was in her corner for the match as well. I thought there was good back and forth between the two of them. I like that the arm wrench, like leg sweep that Petrovic did.
Yeah.
But Lola Vice really sticking it to Natalya. Looking right at her, locked Petrovic in a sharpshooter and made her tap out to end that match. I thought that was very, very well done.
Yeah. I think that having that eye contact and everything was huge during that segment.
Yeah, I would like to see Natty win the NXT Championship. I don't know if that'll happen.
I wouldn't be opposed of it.
Yeah, I feel like
I wouldn't be opposed of it
because I still feel like she should have beaten Flair for that title. I completely understand why they didn't have that happen, but I still feel like that should have happened. But after that match, we saw Supernova Sessions with Roxanne Perez and Lyra Valkyria as the guests. And Lyra basically gave point for point as to why Roxanne isn't champion. Like, Indy Hartwell won last year, and she just climbed faster than Roxanne did. And then Lyra retained the championship, and Roxanne blamed Lola Vice for that because she cashed in that contract. And she's like, oh, it's fine for when you do it, but it's not fine when she does it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Roxanne said that she didn't have it in her to do what she did to Lyra's arm a few months ago, and now she does. And I like the back and forth banter between the two of them. I think I don't want to say the real stars of this, because obviously the real stars of this are Roxanne and Lyra. Mm-hmm. Metaphor. Being so into every single word that both of them said and reacting as if they were in high school, I thought was so funny. So I was very happy with that. And then Lyra put Roxanne through what looked like the cheapest, tiniest little end table ever. So I thought that was interesting. And then Tatum Paxley questioned Lyra over it, and she didn't really like the fact that that happened. And Lyra said that she's doing what she had to do to Roxanne, and she's doing what she had to do to keep the title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the Supernova sessions are very entertaining, and the way that they are reacting with everything taking place, it adds more entertainment to it. As opposed to them just sitting there and listening and stuff, I feel like their facial reactions and stuff really adds a lot to it.
I mean, even vocal reactions that they had. I thought were great.
I agree. Next up, you had Oba Femi, the North American champion, defend against Joe Gacy. It went to a no contest due to a ref stoppage, though.
Yeah, before we got there, we saw Sean Spears take out Joe Gacy during his entrance. Yes. And then Oba Femi threw Joe Gacy into the ring, and Joe Gacy said, he's fine, let's do this. And I thought it was going to be over pretty quickly. But Joe Gacy continued the match for a while. And then there was a mishap with one of the moves that took place, and the ref called off the match. And Joe Gacy is fine. So that's good. I think they said it was concussion protocol right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, Joe Gacy crawled into Ava's office to ask for a match with Sean Spears, and she granted that for the kickoff show.
Yeah, I thought that was really... it's funny how Joe Gacy is just a glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
You know? But next up, you had Ariana Grace pick up the victory over Ren Sinclair.
Which stemmed from Ren questioning Ariana Grace earlier, changing Gigi Dolan and the whole pageant scene and everything.
Yeah.
Which I thought we were going to see Gigi Dolan show up and help Ren Sinclair win.
That would make sense. Yeah.
And the only thing that actually did happen in this was Ariana holding the ropes to get that victory.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if we will see that, like, made over Gigi Dolin, or what's going to happen there.
I think that we're, I mean, obviously it's going to play out, and at some point we'll see it all escalate, but it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Next up, you had the D'Angelo's. This was an interesting backstage segment.
I thought it was funny because this was happening like throughout the night, but the one that took place earlier in the night, Ilya ends up having a boot on his car. And guys pulled up and they're like, get in. He goes, nah, I'll find my own way there. They're like, get in. So he obviously has to get in. It ends up being some warehouse that's super sketchy. There's like tools and everything around.
Yeah. And they're like, he's like walking past like everybody as they're like sharpening their tools, or they're doing like mechanical work and showing that the tools actually work.
Yeah. And I like this. We don't get stuff like this on Raw and SmackDown. And a lot of people were like, what the absolute hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good. Did you maybe not enjoy it or what?
I liked it. I thought it was, I mean, it was movie-esque.
Yes, it's a movie approach, so I enjoyed that.
It's movie-esque. And yeah, me and you are fans of the movie-esque stuff, and I feel like during the movie-esque NXT...
Sometimes.
I feel like you have to detach yourself from reality in order to really enjoy those cinematic approach to everything. I was a fan of it.
Like, we know Ilya Dragunov has a hurt hand, and the way that he sold that hand grab, I thought was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tony D'Angelo basically just reiterated that he's leaving, stand and deliver as champion. I had deliver in my head already, so a living came out.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be the case. Sorry.
Mm-mm. I agree.
After that, Sol Ruka picked up the victory over Blair Davenport. Something that kind of blows me away is that standing moonsault that Sol Ruka did, because it's like so good that it didn't even look real.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Like, to me, it just like looked like something out of a video game. It's hard to explain, I guess.
No, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. But Blair Davenport worked on Sol Ruka's repaired knee, and I thought this was a fun match. It looked like Blair was going to be the one that picked up the victory here, but Sol Ruka ends up reversing Blair Davenport, and really the only thing that I wish came from this more was Blair Davenport looking like she was trying to get out of that pin.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we have like those pin reversals, it looks like the wrestler's not even trying to get out, and I'm like, this makes no sense. So I wish that there was like some sort of like wiggling or struggle or whatever.
Yeah, I don't like it when a person just lays there dead fish.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then to close out NXT this week, we had a face-to-face with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. I think for me, this segment would have been much better had we not heard most of this for weeks now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying this segment was bad, but like maybe for the first-time viewer, it would have made so much more... or it would have just been so much better.
Yeah.
Because everything that they were saying, we've heard for weeks now. So really the main thing you wanted from this was that big brawl that happened. And they both fought through security. The locker room emptied out. I don't know at this point if come stand and deliver, there's going to be some sort of stipulation added, but I wish they got like a special guest referee or something.
I feel like special guest referee would have added a little bit more, especially with it being WrestleMania. Who would you have had as special guest referee?
My vote is always for Ken Shamrock, so So I don't know who necessarily we'd have, but
yeah, Shamrock, that'd be
also
cool.
The WWE anonymous account posted a conversation that Ava was having with somebody saying, yes, of course, you're always going to be family in NXT or whatever, part of the NXT family. So I don't know if that's going to be like a hint at somebody showing up on the kickoff show or what's the deal there.
Somebody's got to, I mean, I feel like somebody's going to be making a return by them saying you're always welcome on the NXT family. It seems like it's, to me, it's hinting at somebody that may have left and is now coming back.
Or it could just be somebody like CM Punk. But again, I don't know why you wouldn't advertise CM Punk. Like, hey, show up. Watch.
Yeah.
That's true. So we'll see if there's a surprise there at Stand and Deliver, taking place at the Wells Fargo Center, all the way away from the historical places in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that is. On the kickoff show, we have Joe Gacy taking on Sean Spears. I'm going to say Sean Spears.
I'm going to say Joe. Oh, wait. You got to go Sean Spears. Yeah.
I mean, you don't have Spears. To. It is Philadelphia.
No, I mean,
Joe Gacy's ran Philadelphia match. Before, so.
You know what? That is true.
But I am going to say. Going to say Sean Spears.
Damn. You know, yeah, I'm sticking with Spears.
Six-woman tag up, match.
Yeah.
Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, Kalani Jordan, taking on JC Jane, Kiana James, and Izzy Dame. Jasmine Nix, by the way, I was wondering if it was why she wouldn't have also been in the match, but I didn't think it was going to be a four-on-four. She came out in a sling this week.
Ah, there you have it.
I don't necessarily think she's actually injured, but
yeah,
it makes sense that they would have that. But I'm going to go with the face team.
I'm going to go with the heel team. I'm going Jane, James, and Dane.
Jane, James. This sounds like a law firm.
Jane, James, and Jane.
If you or Jane, somebody has been affected Jane, James, by mesothelioma. For the NXT Tag Team Championships, the Wolf Dogs taking on the challengers Axiom and Nathan Fraser. Is it time to say goodbye to the Wolf Dogs?
You
I
know
didn't
what?
Think this was going to be the first WrestleMania for Bron Breakker, but
I think so. I think Axiom and Fraser could come out of this as the winners.
I do as well. And I think they are going to make a phenomenal tag team champion team.
Yeah, and then I could see Breakker on the Raw after.
He's on SmackDown, he's on SmackDown.
Yeah, he's on SmackDown. I could see him on the SmackDown after Raw. I guess it's still after Raw, after Mania. See him on SmackDown next week.
For the NXT Women's Championship, you have Lyra Valkyria taking on the challenger, Roxanne Perez. It kind of feels like it's going to be Roxanne Perez.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Roxanne Perez. I think she's going to be reclaiming her gold that she never actually lost.
It's a tough call.
It is. Triple threat match for the NXT North American Championship. Oba Femi defending against Dijak and Josh Briggs. I am going to go with Oba Femi.
Oh, part of me wants to say Dijak ends up pinning Josh Briggs.
Could, I don't know. But I think Oba Femi has been doing incredible over there right now.
I mean, so is Dijak. It's true. Very, 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 very surprising that Dijak already has not been North American champion.
I feel like I could see Femi pinning Briggs and Dijak going after Femi at the next pay-per-view, and then maybe Dijak winning that one.
I'm gonna say Dijak wins the championship.
All right, that would be cool.
For the NXT Championship, you have Ilya Dragunov defending the title against Tony D'Angelo. It's Ilya Dragunov.
Yeah, I'm going with Dragunov. What we could assume as the main event of the evening, Carmelo
Not
Hayes.
Assume, it is.
It is. Carmelo Hayes taking on Trick Williams. I'm going to go with Trick.
Yeah, going to say Trick Williams.
Whoop that Trick.
That was the NXT portion. Moving over to SmackDown. It kicked off with the Kevin Owens show with Randy Orton as the guest. Logan Paul showed up, but he was at Lincoln Financial Field. So Kevin Owens and Randy Orton went to the stadium. And then A-Town Down Under popped up from under the ring, ran through the crowd. I guess they were supposed to sneak attack Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. We'll put a pin in that. And then we get to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, where Bronson Reed picked up the victory. I really do wish that they would add this back to WrestleMania, because they have such a long kickoff show. I feel like they can use that kickoff show. And for this, my picks were literally either Chad Gable or Andrade. And neither of them were in it, nor was Shinsuke Nakamura. So that sucked. But it was cool to see. We got a little bit of it. The big man, meaty mat battle, whatever you want to call it, between Ivar, Bronson Reed, and Otis. They did do the Judgment Day and Ricochet gimmick, and we ended up seeing JD cost Ricochet the match, and then Akira Tozawa rocked JD McDonagh with that super kick to eliminate him, and I thought that was great. But it came down to Ivar and Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed even broke out a Rolling Thunder. They're in Philadelphia, home of ECW, and he picked up that victory. So I think that's a good win for Bronson Reed to now have this on his record. After that, we had Logan Paul come back out, made it to the arena, made fun of Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, and he spoke about what A-Town Down Under is probably going to be doing to them at Lincoln Financial Field, probably going to be beating them down when they cut live to the stadium. And they cut to the stadium. They're nowhere to be found. A-Town Down Under is like, where are they? We followed them on the golf cart. And then from under the ring came Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And then they ended up beating Logan Paul down. So I thought that was a great segment to go back and loop back to, I guess. After that, backstage, they showed Dragon Lee was taken out. Then we go to the match. Electra Lopez picked up the victory over Zelina Vega. They had Dominic Mysterio and Andrade come out with Legado for this. And I think the match was kind of messy. Storyline-wise, you could 100% say it was because Zelina Vega was shook from what happened with Dragon Lee. But we saw Zelina use that Andrade DDT, and then Dominic Mysterio got involved. And then Rey got involved, and that directly led to Electra Lopez winning this match. And Legado attacked Rey afterwards. And Dominic, I guess, tried to make Andrade get involved, and Andrade ends up making the save. So, and then we find out that Dragon Lee is taken out of the match, and Andrade steps in. So when we talk about that in the next segment, just know we pick Andrade and Rey Mysterio, and we recorded it the day before, so it doesn't add up timeline-wise or match-wise. After that, we saw Bianca Belair and Naomi come out. They show the three of them walking backstage with Jade Cargill together. I don't know why they wouldn't come out all together, but I guess presentation-wise it makes sense. I just don't think we needed this segment. And then we had British Strong Style pick up the victory over A-Town Down Under. I feel like this match wasn't necessary. I like the tornado DDT that Grayson Waller did to the outside of the ring, but the Judgment Day beat both teams down afterwards, and that was the main thing from this segment. Then we had LA Knight come out and cut a promo. He and AJ Styles got into it during the media interviews earlier in the day. Left AJ Styles bloodied, but this segment was just LA Knight talking trash. Again, I don't know if this was necessary. And then the main event saw Jey Uso pick up the victory over Solo Sikoa via disqualification. I feel like ultimately this whole episode really, I mean, you could have just done the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, the LWO and Legado thing, and I guess this segment too.
Jimmy showed up and attacked Jay, and then the fans chanted for Cody. They popped big time when he and Seth Rollins made the save. And then Cody used his belt on the Bloodline. Seth Rollins joined in. Jay hit the Uso splash on Jimmy. And then Cody cut a promo to fire up and hype WrestleMania, basically, which I thought was a fine close to SmackDown. The schedules, man, I feel like a bunch of this wasn't necessary. And I understand why everything happened, but I just feel like a lot of it wasn't needed. That was SmackDown. We have WrestleMania taking place at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Two nights, Saturday and Sunday. Big card. How should we run this down?
I mean, how about we start off with brother versus brother, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. I'm going to go with Jay.
I think it has to be Jey Uso to win this match.
Yeah.
We have Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. I already basically said it. It's Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill.
Yeah, I agreed.
0% chance that Jade Cargill's first WrestleMania ends with her losing?
No. No way at all. Tag team match, LWO. You got Rey Mysterio with the new LWO member, Dragon Lee, taking on Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom. I am going to go with the LWO.
I am as well. Got to have Dragon Lee.
Although,
go
if Dirty Dom picked up the victory, I would love the heat behind that, but I mean, it seems like Rey Mysterio is going to get his revenge on all of them.
I think we're going to see a lot take place in this match. I was really hoping that this match would have taken place, yeah, but I think because it's on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, April 6th, yeah, he's in Detroit.
Don't put it past him.
No, he's in Detroit. April 7th, he could have potentially made the match.
Ah.
So, we have...
That stinks.
We have Gunther taking on Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. Fingers Gunther. Beyond crossed for Gunther, yeah. No offense to Sami Zayn, but...
None taken.
I just don't want to see him be the one to be thrown. Six-pack
tag team ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. You got the Judgment Day taking on DIY, taking on The Awesome Truth, taking on The New Day, taking on A-Town Down Under, taking on New Catch Republic. I thought with this match that it was interesting that they didn't leave a spot open.
That literally last week on SmackDown, I was like, wait a minute. I thought we were getting one winner from this tournament.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're recording on Thursday. Come Friday, they could always be a team that gets taken out or something.
Yeah, anything can happen.
But I'm going to say the Awesome Truth takes one of the Raw Tag Team titles, and I'm going to say A-Town Down Under takes SmackDown.
Oh, you think that it's going to be separated?
100%, especially because Michael Cole said that the match will not end until both championships are taken down.
Ooh, interesting.
You have to split those titles. You have to get them. They were only together because of the Bloodline. You have to get rid of them.
Hmm.
We have two separate brands. We're going to need strong brands going forward past this WrestleMania.
So then what I am going to choose... I mean, obviously, we do see Damian Priest making a run for the championship with Drew McIntyre. I don't think he's going to do it as a tag team champion. So, I think I would agree with you, but I don't see Awesome Truth holding the titles for a long period of time.
I don't know how long of a time. I could still see them feuding. Well, no, because I don't think... Or unless Finn Balor and JD McDonagh do it or something. I don't know. Like Clash of the Castle. I don't know. I think R-Truth is getting a WrestleMania moment here.
Well, yeah. So I would agree
Ooh, by
with
the
you.
Way,
Awesome
we
Truth
already
in
know
the town, downtown.
R-Truth does not like ladders, so.
Mm-hmm.
Should be interesting. But you're going with the same exact answer as me?
Yeah, I'm going to follow suit.
For the Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley defending the title against Becky Lynch. Going to say Rhea Ripley. Hopefully she retains. No offense to Becky Lynch. Just hope.
I agree. I think Rhea Ripley is going to pick up the victory.
Yeah.
On to then, the big match of the evening. We have the Bloodline, The Rock, and Roman Reigns taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. If Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins wins, all the members of the Bloodline will be banned from ringside during the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match taking place on night two. But if The Rock and Roman Reigns win, the championship match on night two will be held under Bloodline rules matchup. I think that this night, I'm going to say that the Bloodline picks up the victory just to spice up things for night two. I think that having the match as a Bloodline rules match is going to, I think it's going to put the butts in the seats.
I think the butts are already in the seats. It's WrestleMania. I think the main, yes, 100% the Bloodline, Rock and Roman Reigns will be retaining, or not retaining, they'll be winning this match. And Bloodline rules, we saw a little taste of it, a little preview of it on Monday Night Raw. I think it's going to go harder than that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we do get a bunch of involvement from Bloodline, from non-Bloodline, from new Bloodline, from old Bloodline, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll see Rikishi. I don't know. Will we see John Cena, Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Maybe we'll see that. What's that tag team?
I don't know.
The Fatu.
The Head Shrinkers?
No. I forgot. Whoever else is in the Bloodline that was in MLW?
Jacob Fatu.
Yeah.
And Lance on Hawaii.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if they showed up. It is Philadelphia.
It would be dope.
Yeah, for
sure. Moving over to night two, we have LA Knight taking on AJ Styles.
I'm going to say LA Knight. Yeah.
For the United States Championship, you have Logan Paul defending the title against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. I'm going to say Kevin Owens. Although I would be completely fine with Logan Paul retaining.
I feel I'm going to go with Kevin Owens too.
In a Philadelphia street fight, you have the Pride, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits taking on the Final Testament. I feel like they could have just had B-Fab and Scarlett also in this match.
Yeah, why not?
Like, it's a street fight. They're going to be there. have them in the match. I don't get it.
Yeah. I feel like the Final Testament has to pick up the victory.
It's like with the LWO and Legato or whatever. Like, you could just have Zelina and Electra Lopez there involved.
Yeah, you know that they've wrestled before, so.
But I think the Final Testament have to win this match, 100%.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping for a bunch of cool... Maybe we'll see some ECW interactions here. Maybe not. I don't know who we would see, but...
Tommy Dreamer?
Dudley Boys? I don't know.
Maybe.
Then for the Women's Championship, still really annoyed that it's not inside of a Hell in a Cell and not the main event. But for the Women's Championship, you have the champion Io Sky defending the title against the 2024 Royal Rumble winner, Bayley. I'm going to say Bayley.
Bayley? I'm going to say Bayley too. She is going to have her moment. I agree.
World Heavyweight Championship on the line. Seth freaking Rollins defending the title against Drew McIntyre. I already fancy booked this. I'm going to Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre is picking up the victory. Rollins got to get that knee fixed.
And then, Bloodline rules match for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship.
I think Cody Rhodes wins this. I think Cody Rhodes introduces a brand new actual WWE Championship, and they finally retire the Universal Championship.
I would like that.
Roman Reigns gets to keep his streak as being the longest Universal Champion. And Cody Rhodes is WWE Champion.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I spoke about that a long time ago. I think that makes total sense for me to do. You know?
And Cody Rhodes at WWE World said that if he wins, he's bringing out a new title.
And he says if he doesn't win, he might as well just do commentary. So I'm going Cody Rhodes.
Absolutely. So those are our predictions for WrestleMania. Going to take a quick little break, and we'll be right back here on Marking Out.
This is the blue-collar badass JD Drake, and you're listening to Marking Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Marking Out episode 687. Talking about Rampage from last week, you saw Dustin Rhodes pick up the victory over the Butcher. The match I thought was fine, but I don't think the fans cared about this match at all. And I don't know why they would have. After that, you had Deonna Purrazzo pick up the victory over Rose. Purrazzo should be well beyond matches like this. It was a very slow match, but a lot shorter than the next match. And I think the best part of this was the pump kick that Purrazzo did. But after that, you had Mariah May pick up the victory over Nikita. Toni Storm was supposed to be in this, but she was quote-unquote not cleared to compete. So Mariah May volunteered. She stepped in. Toni Storm, just like Deonna Purrazzo, should be well beyond a match like this. And I said it for a few weeks now. So should Mariah May. And this match was so much longer than it should have been for it to be an unknown talent facing her. This isn't someone who's been on regularly. Who's Nikita? She should not have taken that long to face somebody who's not been on TV like that. This and Deonna Purrazzo's matches should have been much shorter. And a squash match should have sufficed for both. We saw Roderick Strong pick up the victory over Matt Menard. This really only seemed like the only match that the fans cared about. It was Matt Menard's hometown. As far as the match goes, Kingdom got involved. Menard took them out, and regardless of that, there was no way Roddy was losing. And then they beat Matt Menard down afterwards, and the best friends made the save. Then the show took an even bigger nosedive to me, and the Young Bucks showed up to low blow the best friends. But kudos to them for furthering storyline for Dynamite. And outside of the main event, this episode was abysmal. The crowd literally could not have cared less about this match until Matt Menard showed up. AEW Collision saw Edge pick up the victory over Matt Cardona to retain the TNT Championship. This was one of Matt's dream matches, so it was really cool to watch this on television. And the crowd went absolutely nuts when they realized it was Matt Cardona. So that was very surreal to see. This honestly might have been one of my favorite matches I've seen in AEW. It wasn't one of the best matches, but I think it was like a breath of fresh air for the AEW product. So I was very happy to see that match. Malakai Black showed up after this. They stared each other down for a bit, and then Buddy Matthews attacked Edge. Mark Briscoe tried to make the save, but they shut him down. And then Eddie Kingston squared up. And Nigel popped me big time by yelling, "It's a fan," when Eddie Kingston showed up. But the lights go out again, and they come back up, they're gone. And then the three of them cut a promo later on, and it sets up a match. Very random for Edge and Eddie Kingston, but I'm looking forward to seeing that match. They did not do anything to further this on Dynamite, which was beyond goofy. But I will speak on that in a moment. We saw FTR pick up the victory over the Infantry to advance
FTR was interviewed before this about being the favorite to win this whole tournament. And they were like, well, we can't look past the infantry. And then they put the infantry over. And I said the other week that I would be surprised to see the infantry beat FTR. But also, given that they advanced in this tournament at all, I don't know if I would have been super surprised. But they lost, and I think they still both had a really good match. And, like, this had no business being as good as this was. And I wish we could have even had more of this match. And I wish there was more referee control. But that's every match in AEW. After that, Kyle O'Reilly picked up the victory over JD Drake. The crowd, unfortunately, really didn't care about this match. It was pretty short. The main focus really being that the Kingdom came out to celebrate with Kyle O'Reilly again, even though he continues to be like, brother, I want to do this on my own. So the end game of that, in my head, has to be Kyle O'Reilly. I've been saying it for weeks, taking the title from Roderick Strong. After that, Top Flight picked up the victory over Big Bill and Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks got injured at the end of this match, and according to reports, the ending was not supposed to be the ending, and Top Flight was not supposed to move on in this tournament. But Ricky Starks posted that he's fine, so I think that's good. But it made for a very, very weird ending, and if they thought he was injured, I don't understand why they continued with that match. Like, that seemed irresponsible to do. The match after that saw Thunder Rosa pick up the victory over Lady Frost. Lady Frost, I don't understand why she is not signed. At least I don't think she's signed. This is one of those matches where a talent like Thunder Rosa should obviously be well beyond facing enhancement talent. But people like Lady Frost, even though she's not signed, I'm like fine with seeing a match like this. Because more times than not, when Lady Frost is wrestling, she's generally better than the talents that are actually signed. Which is not to take anything away from Thunder Rosa here, but Lady Frost is like an absolute solid wrestler. But now this puts Thunder Rosa and Mariah May in the number one and two spots. And it sets up that they're going to face off on Dynamite, which I'll speak about, to see who faces Toni Storm at Dynasty. Which I'm beyond over that character. I thought whatever they did the other day with the guy from Turner Classic, it was just so cringe. I did not like that. They aired a very good video package for Will Ospreay, which I feel like should have been shown when he officially started the other month. It would give a fan perspective as to why you should care more about Will Ospreay. Especially somebody who might not be familiar with Will Ospreay. But the show ends with Bryan Danielson, Claudio, and Shibata picking up a victory over The Righteous and Lance Archer. I don't understand The Righteous losing. I don't understand the point of this match. What's the point of that vignette that we had the other week? What's the point of the vignette on Rampage? Just for them to lose? I don't get it. And the match stemmed from 3 weeks ago when they attacked the Blackpool Combat Club and Shibata made the save. It was a good match, but I feel like The Righteous and Lance Archer should have been the team to win and you get that victory over Shibata or somebody. Somebody that's not Bryan Danielson. Someone that's not going into Dynasty to face Will Ospreay. Over on Dynamite, you had Edge open the show, which was a lot of rambling, and I think this was because of what CM Punk said, and then he brought out Will Ospreay, but I thought we were going to see this pivot to Malakai Black, and Eddie Kingston, and Briscoe. But this was a rah-rah, we're AEW, screw you, CM Punk sort of promo. And I thought this was so cringe. It was embarrassing to watch. And then later on, Penta, outside of all of that,
challenges Edge to a match that gets made instantly for next week's Dynamite. And like I said before, zero mention of Mark Briscoe, zero mention of Eddie Kingston, zero mention outside of Edge being like, hey, we can do me versus Malakai Black. There was no mention of that match whatsoever. I don't see how that makes sense. After that, Will Ospreay picked up the victory over Powerhouse Hobbs. I don't care about this Don Callis family match. You could have it be as good as of a match as it is. Obvious outcome. But why should I care about Will Ospreay taking on another member of the Don Callis family? Again. It would be like bringing in the Dudley Boys. And it's like, oh, Bubba Ray is this big star. Let's have him face D-Von 1 week. Let's have him face Spike 1 week. Will Ospreay is literally about to face Bryan Danielson. Why is he not facing Blackpool Combat Club members? Or at least people who could be associated by proxy? Matt Sydal? It makes no sense to me. And then you have Bryan Danielson come out to tease that match. Obviously, not to do anything further, but to have Bryan Danielson go into a match of his own. Picks up a victory over Lance Archer, which I thought was a good big guy versus little guy match. But I don't... There was a part of this match that really pissed me off. Because it makes no sense. Lance Archer just randomly takes out a member of the crew. The referee has zero reaction to it. How are you going to let somebody take out people from the crew and then have zero repercussions of that? To me, that's like a suspension sort of thing. Call the match. No contest. DQ. It does not make sense to me. After that, Chris Jericho came out. And even though he told Hook that if he needs something, he'll be there. He's now, for some reason, forcing his wisdom upon Hook. And then Hook was like, oh, I got us a tag match on Rampage. Pointless segment. It's bringing Hook down big time. I don't want to see anything with Jericho. I don't want to see anything with Hook together. On Rampage last week, we saw the Bullet Club Gold break into Billy Gunn's house. And they said it was fine because they're related to Billy Gunn. And I thought this was dumb to do because they literally just did a home invasion gimmick a couple of months ago. And then I don't feel like this doesn't storyline like push anything. It could have been done in so many other ways where then you fast forward to the next night on Collision, the Acclaim come out to be interviewed. Billy Gunn was pissed off at Jay White for showing up at his house, and it just sets up further Dynamite. And then Billy Gunn picks up a victory over Jay White via disqualification. You had Billy Gunn and Jay White brawl before the match started. Most of this was brawling outside of the ring. And Aubrey did not care at all. She finally started a 10 count. Commentary covered for her. They covered for the other referee in the other match. They covered for the referee in a match later on. But then the Acclaim were shown taken out backstage. And it really, I don't think it did anything to Billy Gunn. Billy went out of the ring, grabbed a chair. And then the Gunns begged for Billy not to use the chair. And he pushed them out of the way. And then Jay White low blowed Billy Gunn, and the referee finally uses the rules. And then even though the Acclaim were laid out backstage, they show up as if nothing happened earlier in the match to back Billy Gunn up. It made no sense to me. After that, Willow Nightingale came out to be interviewed, and she said she at one point wasn't confident, but it was the fans that made her confident, and she's going to beat Julia Hart for the championship. And then Mercedes Moné showed up and said, finally, she said, she'll be challenging somebody. Whoever wins that match, she'll be challenging either Willow, she'll be challenging either Julia. Although, to me, that does not line up with the rankings at all. Unless it's in her contract, which is not explained. It should be explained if it's in her contract. But they use the rankings in the storyline when it suits them. Just like the other week with Okada, we got no explanation with Okada just randomly being handed a championship match. Yet you have somebody like Thunder Rosa and Mariah May battling to see who the one and two spots are. You have Hangman, you have Swerve battling to see who the number one spots are. It makes no sense. After that, the Young Bucks picked up the victory of the Best Friends to advance to the finals of that tag team title tournament. Again, the referee was not refereeing in this match. The commentary, like I said before, they called it out. Sue got involved, slapped one of the Young Bucks. I think it was Matt Jackson right in front of the referee. Ref didn't care. And you didn't have, you had a turnbuckle pad removed off of the turnbuckle for how long? And the referee pretends not to see it? Why do they make these referees look so stupid? And then finally, building for weeks, Trent Beretta turns on the Best Friends after they lost. Whether or not this is going to finally lead to that big singles push for Trent, we will have to wait and see. After that, Thunder Rosa picked up the victory over Mariah May to become that number one contender. I thought the match was good. I did not think Mariah May would win this match. But Thunder Rosa afterwards was like fired up. Toni Storm stunned. And Thunder Rosa was fired up and she challenged Toni Storm to have that match right then and there, which I think would have been an actual surprise and I would have actually liked to have seen that. But that didn't happen. They're going to be wrestling a Dynasty for the championship. And then to close out AEW Dynamite, you had Swerve and Samoa Joe have a contract signing, which turned into a brawl with Swerve being bloodied and signing the contract in blood. But I checked out when Samoa Joe brought up stuff that I don't think should have been mentioned. And overall, I don't think it made Swerve look strong, but it kind of made Joe look weak. That he wasn't able to take out Swerve on that first go-around. I wasn't a fan of that close at all. Overall, AEW, that episode of Dynamite, it left a really bad taste in my mouth when they opened up with Edge doing that cheerleader gimmick. It was just so goofy. But that's AEW. Hey, Chris, got a match of the week?
Chris's match of the week.
Remember this voice? You probably don't, because it's me. It's Chris. I'm here with a match of the week. And if you know me by now, you probably were watching this match this week and saying, oh man, this is probably Chris's match of the week. And it was. From AEW Collision, this past Saturday, Matt Cardona versus Adam Copeland in the Cope Ope Challenge. This was surprising to a lot of people. I have said it before on this podcast, I am a card-carrying member of the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast Patreon group, and somebody posted that Matt was at Squared Circle Expo Friday, and they said, like, it seemed like they were running an angle where Matt just left, this, that, and the other thing. So I was like, who? And someone mentioned, like, oh, there's a Cope Open tonight. So I made sure that I focused on making sure that I watched Collision, and it was totally worth it. I screamed like a girl when Matt's music hit. My wife was in the other room. She came out and she goes, why are you screaming? And she looked and goes, oh, it's Matt. Oh, and it's Edge. And being such a big fan of both, Edge is my number one, like, out of number one favorite wrestler of all time. I've said that numerous times on the show. And I'm such a huge fan of Matt and everything that he's done, especially 4 years now on the independents, reimagining the Matt Cardona character to what he is now. And to see Matt get his dream match in what I thought was a really good, I think maybe 15-minute segment to open up what I thought was a solid Collision was awesome. I thought the match was good. The Impaler DDT that Matt used I thought was beautiful. And he got his dream match. He has been working so hard on the indies for the past 4 years. For him to, and then Ian Riccaboni on the call too, like, did a great job of really, like, hyping him up and giving backstory to this. He's like, oh, Matt's been on a lot of interviews recently saying that his dream match is against Adam Copeland. It was really nice to see. And personally for me, you know, I said that Ospreay versus Konosuke Takeshita was the match of the year. Adam Copeland versus Matt Cardona on this Collision is like my personal match of the year, just because I'm such a fan of both performers. So congratulations to Matt on fulfilling his dream match. And congratulations to Adam Copeland for just being awesome and just being excited about professional wrestling and where professional wrestling is in a whole right now. I said it earlier to somebody. I'm like, it's the best week of the year of being a wrestling fan. It's WrestleMania weekend, and there's so much wrestling out there, and there's so much wrestling for everybody. If you don't like this thing, you can do this thing. If you like deathmatch wrestling, you can watch deathmatch wrestling. If you like more of a comedy-style wrestling, there's that out there. If you like more strong-style wrestling, there's strong-style wrestling out there. But another match of the week that I'm looking forward to, Joey Janela's Spring Break. It's going to be number two match of the week for me for Matt Cardona. Matt Cardona against Blue Kane. You might have seen him go viral recently being referred to as Blue Kane. However, it seems like WWE slapped the cease and desist on him. So this is going to be a fun match. Heading back to the story where, you know, Kane destroyed Matt's life as Zack Ryder, threw him off the stage in a wheelchair. You know, it's a normal Kane's blue-headed stepchild, I guess you can say. So looking forward to that Friday night WrestleMania weekend as part of the GCW Collective. And also, one more match of the week, because it is WrestleMania week. I'm not going to say it the same way again, saying, oh, my match of the week this week is my favorite match, Edge versus Mick Foley from WrestleMania 22, hardcore match, fire, all that great stuff. No, it's from WrestleMania X7. And no, it's not Rock versus Austin. It is the triple threat ladder match for the WWE Tag Team Championships between Edge and Christian, the Dudleys, and Matt and Jeff Hardy. Tables, ladders, and chairs match, I could say. This is the pinnacle, and this was a great feud between these three teams, and they brought it to the main stage of WrestleMania and really delivered. And this weekend, before one of the nights of WrestleMania, I will be showing this match for the first time to my son, who I am forcing him to wear a Cody Rhodes shirt. By the way, if you want my prediction, I think Cody Rhodes is pinning The Rock clean Saturday night, Sunday night, pinning Roman Reigns clean. Boom, story's finished. WrestleMania, let's go! I don't know what's next. Yeah, Brandon, shout-outs, right? That's what it is?
This is Droopy Dog, and you're listening to Brandon's shout-outs.
The first shout-out goes to Roadhouse, the 2024 remake of Roadhouse. Did you watch the trailer for this at least?
Yeah, I saw the trailer.
I thought it was actually a decent movie. And it's really very different than the original. And some of it is hokey, but my only real negative like note of this movie, I don't think McGregor was good. Like, I could suspend my disbelief and buy Jake Gyllenhaal as a former MMA fighter, but Conor McGregor is very clearly not an actor. And I think that hurt this movie.
Nah.
And I also can't even imagine what this movie would have been had Ronda Rousey stayed on with it and been in it. Because would she have been playing the McGregor part or what? I don't know. I can't picture that.
But I don't know. She's having a lot of talk about her now.
Yeah, but so. I popped at Post Malone being in this movie. I didn't know he was in it. I thought that was pretty cool, especially since he's about to be in WWE 2K24 this year. So it's on Amazon Prime. I would say check it out. I enjoyed the film. After that, my next shout out is going to Bray Wyatt becoming immortal, which was certainly hard to watch. But I think it's such a great tribute to Bray Wyatt and the how creative he was. And it was cool to see all the behind-the-scenes footage and footage that had not previously been released. So I thought that was cool. And they finally confirmed. We had, I guess we had thoughts on this, but they finally confirmed that Huskis was a representation of Bray Wyatt when, or what he went through as Husky Harris. And then Rambling Rabbit is based on people's opinions that Bray Wyatt rambled in his promos. And then Abby is obviously his sister Abigail, which is his storyline sister. And then Mercy the Buzzard was homage to Waylon Mercy, which was what Bray Wyatt based the character on.
Yeah, for those that don't know Waylon Mercy, he was just somebody way ahead of his time.
And then at the end of this documentary, they pretty much teased the return of Uncle Howdy. Where and when, we don't know.
Still got Bo Dallas under the contract.
Yeah, so I thought that was a very, very well done documentary. It's still such an unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
My last shout out is going to Joe Flaherty, who passed away this week at the age of 82. I think his first most famous role, I think, would be from SCTV. He was part of that original cast with John Candy, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, Andrea Martin, Dave Thomas, and Harold Ramis. They have episodes like unofficially on YouTube that you can go back and watch. I guess you could describe it kind of like the Canadian SNL. Mm-hmm. But Joe was also in Freaks and Geeks, which is one of my favorite TV shows. He was the father in that. And a very, very memorable role of his, for me, was from Happy Gilmore, where Shooter McGavin pays his character off to heckle Happy. And he delivers that line, "Hey, Gilmore, you suck, you jackass." And that leads to the fight later on between Adam Sandler and Bob Barker to get him kicked off that tour. So it sucks that he's not going to be in the sequel, I assume, or here to reprise his role if there was going to be the sequel. I know there's like rumors and rumblings. I don't know if it's actually 100% official, but it seems like it's going to be for Netflix. So just try to watch some of his stuff this weekend. And those are my shout outs. Now it's time for our That is right, our mark out moment of the week. I spoke about it during AEW Collision. Chris spoke about it during his match of the week. 100% mark out moment of the week is Matt Cardona popping up on AEW Collision to face Edge.
Yeah, that totally marked out for him stepping up into that position to face Adam Copeland, you know, this was spoiled, such a, yeah,
but still a mark out really spoiled moment.
What? But not really. Not really.
The only reason why you would be texting me is for something like that.
Not really.
100%.
If it was anybody, it was
how
an
was
open
I
challenge.
Able to guess that it was going to be Matt Cardona?
I don't know. I feel like it could have been anybody.
No, I don't think so.
something I marked out over was everything with WrestleMania. I am a total mark for this weekend. I mean, even from today, we're seeing stuff from Bloodsport, and I'm marking out over here with appearances of like Seth, CM Punk there, Piper Niven, Natalya, Killer Cross, Mia Yim, all of these people, like Candice LeRae, all showing support for Shayna Baszler. Like, it's just incredible. And then you had Baszler
so
coming out.
To Stardom also.
Yeah, you know, Zoe Stark is there with Shayna Baszler. And then you had Jordynne Grace come out, you know, with Slamovich.
Charlie Dempsey wrestled there as well.
Yeah.
Also,
I had Jax, Braun Strowman there.
Seeing
just
all the
incredible
stuff at WWE World, which I don't really understand why they didn't just call it WWE Access, but I thought it was really cool to see all like the new figures, especially the fact that they're releasing a West Texas Redneck Kurt Hennig figure, which I think is pretty cool. But just all the stuff in general there, I thought is pretty cool. Access is really pretty cool in general. To see that Jazz is scheduled for signings there, I think it's pretty cool. It's very unfortunate that she wasn't included in 2K24, but I think perhaps that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Also, they have the like the Hall of Fame section of WWE World and the ECW section where you have outfits from Bull Nakano. You have Taz's singlet. I was not expecting to see a singlet from Taz there. You have a chair from Balls Mahoney. So it's pretty cool that given that it's in Philadelphia this year, they included ECW in that as well. Also, going back to Edge, I really enjoyed that Rivals from A&E last week with the Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian and Dudley Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also enjoyed this week's with The Miz and Daniel Bryan. But Roman Reigns' biography, I thought, was very, very well done. Paul Heyman directed it. I like that it gave... Roman Reigns himself gave props to Sami Zayn for what he did in the Bloodline. And it was cool to see everybody talking about the Bloodline in that fashion right before one of the biggest moments of that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you have Rock and Roman Reigns on The Tonight Show this week, which is always awesome to see wrestling on The Tonight Show. But it was really cool to hear them talk about the Wild Samoans. It was really cool to hear them talk about Soul Patrol. They showed a clip of The Rock and Rocky Johnson from WrestleMania 13 against the Sultan. So I thought that was pretty cool. Huge miss, though, by not having Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins show up on The Tonight Show.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I thought that would have been perfect.
Yeah, definitely marked for that.
But those are the markout moments that I have. You have anything else or not really?
No, sir. Take it home.
Thank you so much for listening to Markin' Out episode 687. You can check us out on Twitter at Markin' Out, at BTTG161 on all platforms. Chris Sweendog, CMSweeney85, David PTDPT. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Markin' Out, YouTube, and Instagram, MarkinOut11, ProWrestlingTees.com/MarkinOut, at MarkinOut on TikTok. Of course, you could listen to us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and MarkinOut.com, as well as anywhere else I'm sure that you listen to this. And we wish you
the
best
of luck in your future endeavors.
Have a fantastic week.